You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
A warm welcome along, everyone, to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, the morning of Friday, the 10th of March. Dave Kellner here, joined by regulars on the podcast, Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin. And this week, a little bit different, with four FA Cup quarterfinals and four Premier League matches to get stuck into. First of all, a warm welcome to Tom Kerwin. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Very well. How are you?
Good. Just trying to get over the feast of football I decided to watch in midweek, which was Manchester City against Stoke. And apparently there was some other game going on that was amazing, but I've not heard anything about it since, so I think I dodged one there.
Yeah, well, precisely. It's not being covered in any great detail, that comeback, has it, Derek?
You know what? I'm still fuming. I haven't been out since it was on, so I'm looking forward to getting to the pub tonight to discuss. This is we in a Liverpool pub. All this talk about it being the greatest European comeback of all time. What a load of nonsense. It was in a last 16 tie against a team that were being outclassed. Think back 12 years, lads, to Liverpool and Istanbul in a final, and they were being outclassed. I was so outclassed that at halftime, every Liverpool fan just wanted the final whistle to go. Now, that is what you call a comeback. Mm. What we saw on the other night was mere bagatelle.
On that note, let's get stuck into this week's action. We'll start with the FA Cup matches, and the Riverside Stadium for Middlesbrough versus Manchester City is first up. Game actually live on William Hill TV if you logged into your account with a positive betting balance. 12:15 kickoff, and Middlesbrough are 7-1 to win it. The draw 7-2, Manchester City 4-9 here with William Hill. To qualify, Middlesbrough 7-2, Man City 1-6. And the enhanced odds, Alvaro Negredo to score and Borough to win was 11-1, now 14-1. Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 12-5. That's been enhanced to 11-4. And Tom, Middlesbrough just look dreadful at the moment. Every single time you see highlights of them play, they're barely having shots on goal. They haven't won in the Premier League since mid-December. They haven't scored in their last four Premier League games either. Is there any hope for Borough in this cup clash?
No, there isn't. The only hope that they have for them is the fact that it is a cup clash. It's another home draw for them. They've been incredibly fortunate with the games that they've had. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday, Accrington and Oxford, lower league opposition, all at home. And they avoided a little bit of a scare against Oxford. But what we have seen in the cup match, particularly that game against Oxford, and that was partly down to their opponents, is a slightly more attacking Middlesbrough. I mean, Aita Karanka, he's not budging, even though his team has slid down the table. They're in the bottom three now in the Premier League. But he won't seem to change or let the shackles off in any way and give his players a little bit of freedom in the league. But in the Cup, it's been a little bit different because they've had those three home matches against lower league teams. They've been expected to win. And they have been a little bit more attacking. There have been sort of tweaks in the formation for Middlesbrough. And they have gone for it a little bit more. The problem I've got with them in this game is they're obviously up against better opposition first and foremost. But I think when a team's kind of stuck in a rut, which is what Middlesbrough have been all season, it's difficult to kind of shake it off, particularly against a team of Man City's quality. Now, I watched Man City against Stoke in midweek, and I thought Stoke did well, but I just thought Man City, one of those teams, when they're good, they're good, and when they're not, they look pretty average. But I think they'll be too strong for Middlesbrough here. I mean, they're the top-scoring side in the competition. They've been away in every round, and they've played against teams similar sort of stature of Middlesbrough, and they've disposed of them pretty easily. Lots of different scorers in this competition. I think Pep Guardiola will look at it and think this is an opportunity for some silverware for sure. I think he'll be disappointed if he doesn't make the final. So Man City will win it, but I think we're in for an entertaining game. I think Middlesbrough will come out a little bit more. You know, it's a cup tie in that they know they've got to try and score a goal, and they're going to have to score probably at least two, I would suspect, to get any kind of result in this and force it through to a replay at the very least. But I like it. I'm a bit surprised it's even money, but Man City winning over 2.5 goals at even money, for me, looks pretty good. Likewise, Man City and both teams to score at 9-4, because still Man City have that defensive vulnerability. And like I said, you're getting that boost probably because Middlesbrough are such low scorers in the league, but this might be a little bit different for them.
That 0-0 draw, by the way, against Stoke was undoubtedly a disappointment. They only had one shot on target in that game as well, Derek, against Stoke midweek. And strangely, Middlesbrough, in this competition, have had the Indian sign over Manchester City. They've actually beaten Man City in four of their last five FA Cup meetings. The most recent of those was in the fourth round back in 2014-15 when Middlesbrough were in the Championship. 7-1 Borough. Does it tempt you, Derek, or not?
No, it doesn't. Wasn't that the game you just mentioned there, when City came back late from a trip? Was that that game?
Yeah.
It just got there just in time for kickoff, I think, from a break in the Middle East. That's how lightly they treated Middlesbrough. I think they do so again. You know what? I looked at these odds here, and so 4-9 City. And, oh, God, City. Do I want to back them with that 4-9, especially away from home? And then I looked at the league table and I can't believe they're away form. It's absolutely incredible. 10 wins from 14 matches away from home. City, only 7 wins at home. The shackles are off when they go away from the Etihad. And they're playing a Middlesbrough side who, you rightly say, can't score goals. I mean, not a single goal in their last 4 matches. I mean, I think Aito, the manager, Aito Karanka, has done a good job under the circumstances. The circumstances being that he's Borough box. But he doesn't half take an awful lot of stick. And you look at the league, the bottom three now in the league, Middlesbrough, Hull and Sunderland, that's pretty much the bottom three that everybody would have tipped at the start of the season. I can't think of any other one. Maybe Burnley, one or two people were suggesting that. You just wonder whether it's they've run their race. I suppose, if you're looking at 7-1, to back Middlesbrough at 7-1, given that they're playing better in the Cup. They did go to City earlier in the season in November and drew 1-1, but they were playing a lot better then than they are now. They just don't seem to be a goal threat. And even with Man City's awful defence, I can't see them conceding against us. I just can't see against Borough. I can't see Borough getting a kick. So City will win. I don't want to back them at 4-9, so I'll back City to win without conceding.
Okay, City to win the game 2-0 is 6-5 here with William Hill. That's Derek's pick in the match. And Tom going Manchester City to win and over 2.5 goals, which is available at even money. Arsenal versus Lincoln, Saturday 5:30. Arsenal 1-12 to win this match. The draw 10-1 and Lincoln 22-1. The enhanced odds, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win, was 23-20, enhanced slightly to 5-4. And Matt Reed to score and Lincoln City to win was 50-1. Now 66-1. Derek, Arsenal, the humiliation complete midweek against Bayern Munich. Lost the first leg 5-1, lost the second leg 5-1 as well, beaten 10-2 on aggregate. I'm interested here in the betting for Arsene Wenger to be manager on the first day of next season for Arsenal. No is 4-11, yes is 2-1. I think some Arsenal fans are in for more misery, Derek, because I still think he's going to be there the start of next season.
Well, he's defiant, isn't he? He should have gone long ago in my eyes. I've been set banging this drum for about 5 seasons. He was a manager in charge of an 8-2 defeat against Man United, by the way. He wasn't in charge of Middlesbrough or anybody like that. He was in charge of Arsenal and they lost 8-2. I can't think of any other top-flight manager of the top 6 sides who could have taking that result on the chin and still be there years later. I mean, that was an absolutely shocking display. And since then, there's been a million of them. And the guy's got no right to be in that position. £8 million a year to take Arsenal to where they are now, which is probably as bad as they've been in any stage of the last 10 years. I mean, against Bayern the other night, it looked like the players had given up on him about 2 years after the fans did. And, if you're Lincoln... You know, they've beaten good sides in Ipswich, Brighton and Burnley and they'll go to the Emirates with no fear, especially if they've watched Arsenal's last few matches. You mentioned those 2-5-1 thrashings by Bayern, but also they've been battered at Liverpool and they've been battered by Chelsea, in recent weeks, 2-3-1 defeats. I 1-12 Arsenal. They should be absolute certainties. They're playing against a team from the Vanarama, which is about as much fun to watch as Panorama. But I couldn't back them the way they are now because they've got their squad. They're bereft of confidence and they've got no faith in the manager. You can tell that. I mean, look at the body language of Alexis Sanchez. I mean, he just can't wait to get away. I don't know what to think here. I really don't. I mean, I actually think Lincoln should be a bigger price given that. They're getting to playing away to a team that, not so long ago was second favourites for the title. I'm going to go for Lincoln at around a 6-4 mark with a 3-goal start. Because what you get from Lincoln is a well-organised side. I mean, I was reading that earlier in the week, the manager's philosophy in games like this. He breaks a match down into 9-10 minute spells, right? Compete with them just for 10 minutes now, right? Next 10 minutes, compete with them again. And they've shown he's been decent side, Lincoln, in the Cup so far. They're not a team. They're a non-league team playing at Arsenal, but they're not a non-league team that you can see getting hammered 6 or 7 nil. So I'm going to go for them with 3-goal start.
It's actually 29-20 now, Lincoln, plus 3. All the cash has been for Arsenal since in the respective markets since the match betting became available. And I suppose, Tom, the FA Cup has been a source of respite for Arsene Wenger throughout the last decade, really. If his team get beaten by Lincoln on Saturday tea time, surely even Wenger can't withstand the backlash that will follow.
But the problem is at Arsenal is, you know, it's kind of a power vacuum, isn't it? And he's right at the centre of it. He's in complete control of his own destiny. And people say he'll only leave when he wants to go. That's because no one would dare make a decision above him. I mean, this is a man who has almost single-handedly picked the executive board around him. I mean, he pretty much interviewed the chief executive at Arsenal for the job. I mean, I don't know where else in the world that would happen, in what other sort of industry or business that would be allowed to happen. So it's completely down to him. And what you've got now is you've got a bit of a toxic atmosphere at Arsenal. You've obviously got the collapse at the end of the game in midweek. You've got now, it's coming from players. I mean, Theo Walcott said, hasn't he, that there's been problems in the dressing room. Wenger now consistently is having to sort of bat stuff away, and he's not doing a particularly good job of it. And when this all comes together at a football club, it leads to unrest in the dressing room and an inability, I think, for the players to play at their maximum. A, because they either don't want to, or B, because they can't because of the environment that's around it and almost the pressure that's on them. I mean, this should be a routine game for Arsenal, but we're not talking about it like that, are we? You know, this is ridiculous. The gulf between the two sides is absurd. And Arsenal are at home. It shouldn't even be a question, but it is. Because also, Lincoln come into this equation, and probably, or the FA Cup games I've seen this season, they are as defensively organised, and the ability to frustrate that they have is as good as anything I've seen this season, genuinely. I mean, they were that good at Burnley. They got right underneath their skin. And I think they'll do exactly the same. I mean, Wenger himself made the point when they played Sutton. The fitness isn't an issue anymore. It's not as big an issue as it was when you're looking down the divisions and you're looking at 4 or 5 leagues between teams. Now, these teams are fit. And you look at Lincoln in their away matches recently, and I know the opposition they've been playing against, but Burnley are in the mix as well here. But 6 clean sheets from their last 7 matches away from home. Now, in the National League, that is no mean feat. And I think obviously they're up against sort of supposedly top class players, or certainly players with far more ability than they come up against recently. You know what it's going to be like this game. You know it. Arsenal are going to be lethargic at the start. Lincoln are going to sit in, obviously be compact and try and frustrate. And you're back in Arsenal in scintillating form. Arsenal in top form, no problem. They pull this team around. But I can't see it in this one. I'd see them, of course, getting through, because somehow Giroud will come off the bench, or he'll pop up with an 85th minute winner. But I can't look too far past, you know, what Derek suggested there of Lincoln on the handicap plus 3 at 29-20. Also, I'm going to have a small stake on Arsenal to win by a goal at 6-1. And that probably suggests to me 1-0, because, for all Lincoln being great defensively, they ain't a team, apart from set pieces, that are going to be able to get up that big Emirates pitch. So it's a matter of how long. It's damage limitations for Lincoln, which is why I think Lincoln plus 3 at 29-20 looks cracking value.
I like it a lot. Arsenal 1-0, 12-1 here with William Hill as well. Spurs versus Millwall next. This is Sunday, 2 p.m. And Spurs are 1-6 to win this game. The draw 13-2 with Millwall 14-1. The enhanced odds, Christian Eriksen to score and Spurs to win, was 17-10, now 2-1. Harry Kane and Dele Alli both to score, was 9-5, now 9-4. And Steve Morrison to score and Millwall to win, was 28-1, now 40-1. Tom, Spurs and Harry Kane have been rampant recently. Kane has a couple of hat-tricks in his last 4 games, and Spurs were pretty impressive in the last round against Fulham at Craven Cottage as well. They've actually progressed from 13 of their last 14 FA Cup ties against teams from lower down the league pyramid, and they're long odds on here at 1-6.
I know they had that scare against Wickham as well, and left it very, very late. Could easily have been dumped out of the competition at that stage, but, you know, since then they've been extremely good. And if ever there was a fixture the wrong way round from our point of view, it's this one, isn't it? You know, if Millwall were at home, you'd be looking at this very, very differently. And we talked about Millwall before in previous rounds. It's not the cliche with Millwall. It's a fact, you know, and the stats kind of back that out. I mean, away from home, they've only won 5 of 16 away league matches this season. and compare that with the home form, and it's chalk and cheese. And you know, Millwall a few years lost their way than they knew, then it's different now. So the problem they've got is not only are they away from home and they lose what has been their biggest strength in the FA Cup run this season that they've had, and they've beaten some Premier League sides, of course. But they're then going to Tottenham, who've been imperious at home. I mean, 7 clean sheets in the last 12 home games for Tottenham. And as you point out there, you know, Harry Kane scoring goals. You know, this is a Spurs team who, you know, at times this season I see them elevated above last year. I do, in terms of the goals that they're scoring, in terms of, you know, the players, I think, a little bit more confident. They have that little bit more belief in themselves. So I don't know how Millwall approach this one. I really don't. I mean, it's so daunting for them that I think the best they can hope for here is a replay. And they have had quite a few draws in recent away matches, you know, in the league. They've had 5 draws from the last 5 away matches. So they don't lose very often at home. But neither do they get over the line. Their only victory has been against Coventry, and we know how bad a season Coventry are having at the moment. So I think, honestly, that's Millwall's only chance is to hope that Spurs have a bad day. But I can't see Spurs sort of making loads of changes. We're at a stage now where it's a trip to Wembley, which I don't know if Spurs would want, given how they performed in Europe there. But look, Spurs will win, and I think I'd be backing them to win to nil here. I can't see Millwall causing them any kind of problem whatsoever. And I think you'd be pretty comfortable looking at a -2 handicap at 21-20. And likewise, you know, Harry Kane and Dele Alli both to score at 9-4 looks good. There's a multitude of ways in. It's just a shame, I think, from a neutral's point of view, that this isn't at the new Den, because we'll be looking at a different game.
Spurs to win the game to nil is available at 8-13 here with William Hill. Millwall have actually knocked out 3 Premier League teams so far this season. Last time they did that was back in 1936-1937, Derek. So they've been good in the competition.
Yeah, and I think I'm right in saying, well, haven't they reached the FA Cup final more recently than Spurs have? Oh, I can't remember Spurs recently in recent years.
You're probably right.
Yeah. I keep reading, you know, I'm looking at previews of this game that Spurs are going to rest players. I'm thinking, why? Why would they? I can't understand why they would, and it worries me. It worries me because, you know, Spurs at full strength, they'll beat Millwall. Millwall are a League One side, and they're not even a high-flying League One side. They're at 5th or 6th at the moment. But the 1-7 now, and it tells you how far the FA Cup has fallen. Like, we're in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, and a 1-7 poke is not the shortest price favourite of the weekend. It tells you what this weekend is going to be like. What do you say about this game? Millwall keep raising their game for the FA Cup. You know, they're a team that they're obviously targeting it, and maybe Spurs aren't. You know, they're still the closest challengers to Chelsea at the top. I've got a funny feeling about this fixture. I still can't trust Spurs 100%. I know they've got an unbelievable home record at the moment. No defeats, 12 wins from 14, only 7 goals conceded in those 14 games. That's a half a goal a game they're conceding. But still, there's something in my gut is telling me there's, you know, here be dragons in this fixture if you're thinking Spurs are certainties. I think what I'll do is play safe and go Spurs with 8-13 to win to nil, because I don't see Millwall scoring in this. Not better teams than Millwall, an awful lot of better teams than Millwall have gone to White Hart Lane and not scored, so why should Millwall?
We've just had a couple of big price changes, actually, just while we're recording the podcast here. Lincoln out to 33-1 now to win at the Emirates against Arsenal, and Millwall 18-1, so it just shows you the compilers probably... Well, either managing the book or fielding a lot of cash for the Premier League sides in those two FA Cup clashes. We've got an all Premier League clash in the FA Cup to finish off the weekend's quarterfinals. Chelsea versus Manchester United, the big one at Stamford Bridge, Monday night 7:45, and Chelsea 17-20 to win the match. The draw 13-5 with Manchester United 7-2. The enhanced odds, Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win in 90 minutes was 7-4, now 2-1. Costa and Hazard both to score was 13-2, now 8-1. And Rashford to score and Manchester United to win was 13-2, now 8-1. Derek, I was looking at Manchester United's record against Chelsea, and in recent times it's abysmal. They've not won in 11 against Chelsea now.
I can't believe that, especially that, you know, Chelsea have not been all-conquering in all of those seasons, have they, either? You know, they've had like 2 or 3 real nightmare seasons, and still United can't beat them. Chelsea have beaten them 6 times with 5 finishing all square in their last 11. And they've only scored 3 times in their last 9 clashes with Chelsea and Man United. I can't believe that record. What I would say, though, I can't believe the price either for United, 7-2. I think that's got something to do with the huge Zlatan Ibrahimovic being out suspended after that incident last week against Bournemouth.
Do you think that was right, Derek? Do you think that's a fair suspension?
Too right. I don't think Mings did anything wrong, though. I don't know.
You don't think that was a deliberate stamp?
No, definitely not. It's not a question. This is not an opinion. It's fact. That was not a deliberate foul. No way. It's absolutely criminal that he's been banned for 5 games. Absolutely criminal.
How can you say it's fact?
Because it is fact. I've watched football a million years and I played football a million years, and he did not mean that. Without question, he did not mean that. I mean, if he did mean it, Jesus Christ, how spot on it is that he just stamped right on the very edge of it, you know. How could he avoid his conk? Didn't mean it. I've got to go for United here at 7-2 because they played. They seem to be playing every 3 days at the moment, United, where Chelsea never seem to have a game. But it's doing them a favour. They seem to be getting into the rhythm, and it was a long trip to Russia. We know all that on Thursday, but this is Monday. There's plenty of time to recover. So too big. You know, I've said on this podcast a few times in recent weeks, Chelsea are the best team in the league and they deserve to win the title, which they will do. But they're not that far ahead of the others. You know, they ain't. They just ain't that. They've had a good luck in meeting teams that have gone off the boil just as they've met them, and a few results have gone their way. I mean, they don't make many mistakes, Chelsea, but they're not outstanding. They're not an outstanding side. And they should, Man United, in their current form, when they never lose Man United, 7-2 to beat them is too big. But you know what I might do? I might do the Phelps tactics here and play safe and go for United to qualify. Because one thing we haven't mentioned, all the matches will be decided, won't they, this weekend? There's no replays in here. When did that happen? Am I getting that wrong? Am I getting my facts wrong there? I'm pretty sure I read that there's no replays anymore at this stage. They'll all be decided. And another thing, you know, when teams kick off, remember they used to play centre forward, pass to the inside left, and then he passed it back to the centre, you know, the midfielder. Now they just pass it straight back. When was that allowed to happen?
That was the start of the season, Derek. That
no one told
change.
Me. No one told me that. Well, anyway, yeah, I might be talking out my backside, but I'm thinking it all gets decided this weekend or Monday night in this case. And Man United, in my eyes, will go through. But I'm not playing. I'm not doing Phelps. I'm going United 7-2 to win.
United 7-2 to win the game. No replays at the quarter-final stage. You know the way you talk about Zlatan Ibrahimovic's nose every week, Derek. I think you've got nose envy. I do.
I've got everything envy.
No FA Cup quarter-final replays. I'm not. Do you know when that came in, Tom? That rule.
This season.
It was this season.
I think they're talking about extending it even for next year.
I hope they do, because I think it should be straight knockout anyway. I do understand the reasoning behind FA Cup third round replays, because it gives that team lower down the league ladder the opportunity to hold a team like Liverpool or Manchester United at home and get that financial payoff in the second match, basically. So I can understand it in the third round, but after that, I think it's right, actually, Tom.
Well, because look at the teams that are in it. You know, for all the talk of some of the sort of magic moments of the FA Cup this season, we're left with, you know, a handful of teams that we expected to be there at the end of the season. So, and these are two of them. And Manchester United, I think without Zlatan, and particularly with the games that they've got, and, you know, the trip to Russia they've had and everything else, I can't see Manchester United here. I mean, I know Derek's not a big, you know, sort of massive fan of Chelsea and kind of maybe how good they are this season. But, you know, on Monday night, I think what I admire about them is just how effective they are at winning matches, whatever the occasion. You know, Conte has kind of a different way of working things out, and he did the same thing at West Ham. It wasn't scintillating on Monday night, but counter-attacking-wise, they've got players in red-hot form. And the problem for Manchester United in this one, I see absolutely nothing in Jose Mourinho's midfield that suggests he's going to dominate against the kind of players that Chelsea have here. And Chelsea will feel, again, this is a great chance for the double this season. I would expect them to win the FA Cup, because I think they're the best team left in it. They're certainly ahead and clear in the league. And just the way this match is going to play, you know, Ibrahimovic just brings them something else, doesn't he? And I know it's an obvious thing to say, but, you know, I just think Chelsea are going to dominate. A bit like the match earlier this season in which, you know, Chelsea absolutely steamrolled Manchester United. I don't know why anything's different from then. I know we're talking back at the end of October, but what's changed? Chelsea are still in great form. They've got all the players that played that day. Manchester United are without their star man from this season. And I have to say, when you look at Manchester United's fixtures a little bit closer over the last sort of couple of months, I'm starting to come around to Roy Keane's way of thinking, that they haven't really been tested. They haven't really played anybody of note, and this is going to be a tough one for them. Ordinarily, if Chelsea were Champions League bound and everything else and battling for the top four, it would be different. But for me, it's a Chelsea victory all day long. And I don't think that Conte will make massive changes to his side either. So, usual suspects. And I think 23-10 for Eden Hazard to score any time is unbelievable value if he plays. And likewise, over 2.5 goals at 23-20 is not bad at all.
They've got a difficult run of fixtures to end the season, Manchester United, as well. Outside that top four, obviously. And it's going to be difficult for them to get back in. Well, obviously, Zlatan's not playing. Who do you think starts up front for Manchester United? Because they haven't got a like-for-like replacement, have they, Tom?
No, they don't. And that's what I'm talking about, Manchester United's squad strength, you know, particularly that midfield area, but also up front without him. There's nobody else who can sort of play that way. And that's why he's been that important. Do you remember there was a run, and, you know, they're not the same kind of player, but I remember when Manchester United were winning, when they overtook Newcastle and won the league in 96, you know, they had sort of like 6 or 7 1-0 victories in a row, and Cantona, I think, scored sort of 6 of them. And he's the same kind of player for them in terms of when it's not happening, he can do something. I mean, they can put aimless balls into the box, and he can just beat everybody in there and head it home. So he's that important to them. I think he'll probably give Rashford a chance. I think what Mourinho will try and do is play on the counter-attack. He'll do what he did at Liverpool at Anfield. I think he'll sit in because he knows that Chelsea... I mean, Chelsea, I thought they put on a masterclass on Monday night in terms of... They knew that West Ham couldn't really hurt them, but they weren't bothered about taking the game to them. They just hit them with incredible pace and, you know, could have scored a lot more goals than ended up doing. So I think tactically it will be one of those kind of games where Manchester United will sit back. But unfortunately, Manchester United this season, I don't think they're good enough to sit back against a team like Chelsea and hold out.
Let's talk Premier League football then. 4 games across the weekend in the Premier League, and we'll start with Bournemouth versus West Ham. Bournemouth 13-8, the draw 23-10 with West Ham 9-5. Enhanced odds, Josh King to score and Bournemouth to win was 3-1, now 7-2. Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 16-5. That's now 4-1. Good point for Bournemouth last weekend at Old Trafford, Tom. Went down to 10 men and still held out. Admittedly, we've just talked about Manchester United, and I think that probably says more about them than it does Bournemouth. But still a good point to get, given the run they'd been on.
Yeah, good point, and they needed something, didn't they? Because we've talked for weeks and weeks about their defensive record and you know how wobbly they've been, particularly away from home. I mean, this season in all, I mean they've got the third worst defence in the division. They let in nearly 2 goals a game. And I think it does demonstrate a little bit more about Manchester United last week, because, you know, they've struggled at home against certain sides, you know, and struggled really to put home the chances they've created. This is different for them. They're up against the West Ham side, who are far better on the road than they are at home. They've lost just one of their last 7 away games, and their away form is what has pushed them up the table. And in recent games away from home, they've gone to some teams in and around Bournemouth or of a similar standard, and they've come away with victories. And what they're doing particularly well away from home, they score a lot of their goals in the sort of the second half. I think 13 of the last 17 goals or something like that, you know, have been scored in the second half. So West Ham are staying in matches. You know, they've still got some players that are going to hurt sides, and they're going to hurt this Bournemouth team this weekend. Bournemouth's home form is patchy. You know, it was something that was really strong. It's just the thing is, all the elements that I used to look at Bournemouth as being strong are sort of disintegrating a little bit at the moment. And injuries and other things have kind of caused them problems. So I can understand why the prices are as they are right now, but, you know, and West Ham at 9-5 are sort of screaming out to me as a little bit of value, because despite what happened last week at Old Trafford, and despite the point that they got, they're still not a team that I want to be backing. And West Ham away from home at the moment, given their run, I probably quite fancy them. The other way to play Bournemouth at home, of course, against a team like West Ham, is to play the goals as well. I mean, over 2.5 is short, 4-6 is shorter, but 3.5 at 2-1 is never something I would put anyone off, particularly on Bournemouth at home against anybody.
Both teams to score in the match as well. Very short price, 8-15 in this game on Saturday. One stat from Opta that stands out here. West Ham's 33 Premier League points this season, 26 of them have come against teams in the bottom 10. 8 of their 9 wins have come against sides in the lower half of the table as well. How do you view this, Derek?
Well, that's interesting, because I was about to say something similar. I fancy West Ham big time in this, and I was just looking at their recent away performance. Went to Middlesbrough 1-3-1, went to Southampton 1-3-1, went to Watford, could have easily won that through 1-1. You know, their home form hasn't been great recently, but their away form definitely has. And I don't see why they don't beat Bournemouth here. You know, our Bournemouth result last week with 10 men against United was unbelievable. Absolutely. It came from nowhere. I thought United were absolute certainties in that game. But it's different. A team, you know, coming together with 10 men, everything's against you. And you can have a performance like that as a one-off. But, you know, we've seen in recent weeks that that was a one-off for Bournemouth. They're a poor side right now. They're very, very easy to beat. And this is a resilient West Ham team. I think this is a good West Ham team. And they're overpriced here. They will win this game.
9-5, the Hammers for Derek. Hull versus Swansea next. Hull 8-5, the draw 21-10, and Swansea 2-1. The enhanced odds, Umar Niasse to score and Hull to win, was 16-5, now 4-1. Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 19-5, now 5-1. Hull are now 4 points from safety after their 3-1 loss at the King Power last weekend. And they face a tough task here, Derek, against a rejuvenated Swansea side.
Yeah, Swansea are playing unbelievable since the new manager came in, Paul Clements. I mean, Hull have improved as well under their new manager, but not as much as Swansea have. They were going to teams and you know, playing really well. I thought they were playing okay when they were getting hammered by everybody. They just weren't getting the rub of the green. Now they are. And they've been playing against good teams in recent weeks and giving them a good match. And I think they're one of the bankers of the weekend, Swansea at Hull. Which is a bit daft, really, considering that Hull have played them twice already this season and beaten them 2-0 on both occasions.
Yeah.
The second time, most recently, is January in the Cup. But Swansea are totally different now. You know, they're a team that could actually climb into mid-table the way they're playing right now. Hull definitely won't. I mean, it's usual at this stage of the season, isn't it, for newspapers to print remaining fixtures, you know, for the sides involved in relegation. Well, for Hull, those fixtures get printed in September. We just knew that's where they're second from bottom now. The only surprise there is that they're not bottom. Well, I suppose it's not a surprise when you remember that Sunderland is still in this division, but not for long. I think Swansea are good things here. Two sides probably who have improved 100% since, say, November or December. But Swansea have improved that bit more, and they will win this.
I agree. I agree with Derek here. Tom, how do you see it?
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, I think Hull City have to win this one. I really do. If they've got a chance of survival. I know there's a lot of games to go, but they go to Everton, they've got West Ham and Middlesbrough coming to their own ground, and then they go to Manchester City. Whereas Swansea, I think, you know, since the changes of managers, I mean, Paul Clements inherited a far better squad. And let's not forget, you know, we haven't got the violins out, but Hull have an unbelievable sort of run of injuries and how many of their key players are out. I mean, having to contend with one of the lengthiest injury lists in the division, but I don't really care too much about that. They've had a tough run. They are improving. Everyone keeps saying it about them, but the point is, at home, they're 5 unbeaten, and that is going to give them quite a bit of confidence going into it. But the problem for me, chaps, is when I look at down that Hull City squad list, where are the goals? Who's the reliable goal scorer in that team? Hernandez, Niasse, Diamande? Nope, not having any of them. Markovic? I mean, you know, these are names of, like, you know, we're going to be talking about them in 15 years when people are talking about Football Manager from this season. It's kind of long lost. Oh, do you remember him? They're going to be pub quiz question answers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Swansea have got Llorente, who is in great goal-scoring form, and Sigurdsson has, you know, 7-8 goals or something this season. So there's just that little bit extra from Swansea. So although Hull are improving, you know, I'm with you too. I think Swansea at 2-1 are a good bet.
Everton versus West Brom next, and Everton are 7-10. To win the game. The draw 11-4 with West Brom 9-2. Enhanced odds, Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 7-5, now 7-4. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 15-2, now 9-1. I'm beginning to hope they sell Salomon Rondon in the summer. Tom, so I don't have to mention him on
when
the enhanced
his,
odds
when
offer.
When was his last goal, Dave?
He's not scored for about 15 weeks
I
now.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
It was in this fixture last season, I think. He was 1-0 to West Ham. He got the goal.
You know, he scored one hat-trick this season and we never heard the end of it.
He must be doing something right, though. I think he must be a pivotal part of the team because he plays 90 minutes every week. And he's always there as the enhanced odds because he's the only striker they've got at West Brom. So I'm hoping he goes in the
Honestly,
summer now.
Honestly, Sadio Berahino's got more chance of scoring for West Brom this weekend.
Everton... beaten at White Hart Lane last week, Tom. But prior to that, they were one of the informed teams in the league this year. Odds on to take care of the Baggies here, who inexplicably were beaten by Crystal Palace at home last week, and I don't think many people predicted that 2-0 win for Palace.
No, that was a bonkers one, really. I mean, I was really strong on West Brom, like a lot of people, you know, particularly with West Brom at home. You know, there's only 4 points between these two sides in the table, and you know, and I heard some things this week. I mean, you know, I like Everton. You know, I like the players. I like the young players that Koeman has signed. I like the way they play football. I'm a fan of Lukaku. There's a lot of things that I think Everton have going for them. But you win a few games in the Premier League, and I've heard people talking about them as if, you know, they're going to be breaking at the top four next season. Obviously, Lukaku's got another contract because another calendar month has gone by, so his agent's just permanently knocking on the door and getting another. I mean, it's unbelievable. He gets a contract nearly every single week. But they'll be too strong in this game, but I still don't think Everton are, you know, some amazing side. I think they probably are the best of the rest, but I still think there's a big gap between Everton and the top six sides. I think Everton will, mainly due to the fact that they're, again, there's more goals in them. You know, we're talking there about West Brom, you know, and the only striker they've got is Rondon. Well, you know, Everton, not only Lukaku in the form that he's on, but it's the fact they scored 15 goals in the last sort of four home games, 23 goals in their last 10. They've only lost once at home this season as well. We can't forget that. And that was, you know, a stoppage time winner for Liverpool. Whereas West Brom have only won two of the last 13 away matches. So it's incredibly strong home form and goal scoring form against pretty weak team away from home. And what have we said about Tony Pulis? Apart from last week against Palace, that, you know, they beat the teams you'd expect, but they struggle against this kind of calibre of side. So, you know, Everton are going to win the game, 7-10. But can you really look past Lukaku and an Everton win at 7-4? I don't think you can.
That's reflected in the amount of points they've picked up against teams outside the top six this season as well, West Brom. 39 from 20. But do remember, Everton are a team outside the top six as well. But they are, as Tom put it there, Derek, the best of the rest, Everton.
Yeah, they are. West Brom's only three away wins have come against teams that were really struggling at the time. That performance against Palace last week, that spoke volumes to me. That was the performance of a team that thought, right, we are where we are. We ain't going to get any higher. The teams below us are all crap. We're safe. Let's put our flip-flops on. And unusually for a Palace side, that's why it stunk up to me. Now, that might change now. We might have given them a rocket. But I'm not prepared to risk money on it. That was a shocking performance and result against Palace, and I don't know what it is about them. They don't seem to do the business against the teams that are higher than them. And Everton are playing exceptionally well. I was watching that game against Tottenham in a Spanish bar. I was a little bit worse for wear, but for like a long period, I thought Everton were a better team. I know they lost 3-2, and everyone said Tottenham deserved to win, but not in my drunken haze, they didn't. Everton will win this, I think, 7-10. It's not the greatest price on earth against a West Brom side that can cause a few problems on the day, but I just can't see any other result.
You've reached a new low, by the way, there, Derek, analysing games while you're half-cut.
Well, it doesn't work when it's over, so why not?
It'd make Match of the Day more interesting, wouldn't it?
Everton to win the game, available at 7-10 here with William Hill. Let's talk about the other Merseyside team in the Premier League. Liverpool, they entertain Burnley at Anfield, 4 p.m. on Sunday this game. And Liverpool are 1-4 to win it. The draw 5-1 with Burnley 12-1. The enhanced odds, Adam Lallana to score and Liverpool to win, was 21-10, now 5-2. And Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 22-1, now 33-1. Liverpool haven't lost a Premier League home game against a promoted side since 2010-2011 when Blackpool beat them. They did bounce back against Arsenal last weekend, Derek, winning that game 3-1, but difficult team to understand, Liverpool, because they've had such a good record against those sides in the top six and disappointed against sides further down the table. How do you explain that, Derek?
I can't. Not even the manager can. I mean, since the turn of the year, they haven't been able to put two good performances together. In many of the games, he couldn't put two good passes together. I don't know how to read them. I mean, before that game against Arsenal, the manager, Jurgen Klopp, had come in for so much stick that he told, it was a press conference, "I'm not a clown." And it was an impressive show of defiance, but it was ruined when he drove away from Melwood and the entire first team squad were in his car. It just didn't, you know. I just don't know. I can't. Liverpool are not a team that you want to back at odds on at the moment. Certainly not this long odds on. And I've got a funny feeling. You know, Burnley, we all know the rubbish away from home, Burnley. 2 points it all season away from home. I mean, they're going to change the nickname to the Hedgehogs. They're so slaughtered on the road so regularly. But look at the teams that have won at Anfield in recent weeks. I mean, you know, Wolves went there and won. Southampton went there and won. Swansea went there and won. You know, Burnley are no mugs. You know, you mentioned that inflated price here, and there's a player in the Burnley ranks that I think we'll hear an awful lot more of. You know, he's not an unsung hero right now. He's well rated, but I think he's got the potential to go right to the top. And this is a game that's going to suit him down to the ground. Andre Gray. Liverpool are going to have all the possession. There's going to be back to space in the Liverpool, you know, in the Liverpool half. And he's the kind of guy that will capitalise. So I'm going to go for him to score and Burnley to win. I think you said 28-1. That's my kind of bet, that one.
It's actually 33. It's Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win 33-1. That's the one of the enhanced odds offers here with William Hill. That's Derek's big price pick for Liverpool versus Burnley. You've talked about Andre Gray in the past on podcasts, Tom, because you saw a lot of him in the Championship and you mentioned he wasn't clinical enough.
Well, I think it's just when players sort of make that step up, it's, you know, in the Championship, you just get more chances. I mean, I'd probably always liken it in League One, a striker, you know, in a decent team would get 5 or 6 chances a game. In the Championship, you probably get 3 or 4. And in the Premier League, you might get 2 if you are very, very lucky. And you know, Andre Gray is the kind. What Andre Gray does, and I've already seen him being linked this week with Tottenham and a few other clubs, he fits the bill for what a lot of, you know, clubs are after at the moment. You know, he is quick, he is strong, he can play in that role up top on his own, you know, with support from wide areas. And I think the more he's believing in his ability, because again, it's a similar story to Jamie Vardy, really, how he's kind of, you know, come up through the division. So, you know, he's going to be a threat, and, you know, he'll enjoy this one. I mean, I wonder whether Burnley will gain any inspiration from the match at Turf Moor when they managed to beat them this season, or when they look at Liverpool's results since then against other teams and probably think, well, actually, you know, I'm glad we did beat them because we should have beaten them because everyone else seems to, that are around us. So, you know, I've got absolutely no idea what to make of Liverpool in this game. It would not surprise me in any way if Liverpool run out sort of 4-0 winners and put on, a you know, the kind of displays they were putting on early on in the season. Likewise, it wouldn't surprise me if Burnley managed to hold them to a frustrating draw. You can almost see that headline being written at the end of the afternoon. So I'm unsure, really. The only thing I would say about Burnley is I think they have been shaken slightly by that cup defeat. And, you know, I said it at the time, I think things like that have a real damaging effect on a club. You know, where they are in the league, I know this is a trip to Anfield, so the players will be up for it. But I just wonder about them. They're kind of going to meander, I think, towards the end of the season. And the other thing they've got to have is great pace. And Andre Gray is the one player, I think, in that Burnley side who has the kind of pace that could cause Liverpool problems. So, look, I think they're probably good for getting on the score sheet. Can't back Liverpool to keep a clean sheet at the moment. So I'm going to play Liverpool and both teams to score at 15-8.
Very good. Liverpool and both teams to score for Tom in that Premier League clash on Sunday. Just the naps now then, chaps. Derek, do you want to lead us off this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Swansea to win at Hull, 2-1.
Swansea to win at Hull, 2-1. Tom?
I was going to go for West Ham, but do you know what? Last week, I went for Aguero to score 2 or more. He let me down. He missed the chance at the end of the game. But I'm going to go for the same bet with Romelu Lukaku. New contracts in a bag against his former club, Everton at home. There's bound to be goals, and I think he'll grab 2.
Lukaku, 2 or more, 9-2 against West Brom. And I'm going to go with goals in the Bournemouth-West Ham game. I think it's guaranteed. The proviso being that nothing's guaranteed. Over 3.5 goals in the game, 2-1 in that match between Bournemouth and West Ham.
If you have a ticket for that game, seek a refund because it's going to be 0-0. I said that, that's for sure.
12-1 0-0 if you want to cover short.
Lukaku's going to get injured in the warm-up.
48.5-1 that treble. Hull versus Swansea. Swansea to win for Derek at 2-1. Tom is going Lukaku, 2 or more at 9-2, and I'm going over 3.5 goals in the game between Bournemouth and West Ham at 2-1. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure. Speak next week, lads.
Tom, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. Remember, you can download this via iTunes or audioboom.com and check out all the betting for the 4 FA Cup quarterfinals and the 4 Premier League matches this weekend by going to williamhill.com. And myself, Derek and Tom will be back next week. If you're having a bet this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.